Support comes from the St. Louis Chamber Chorus. Season 68 concludes at John Burroughs at 3 p.m. on May 26th with the United Nations commissioned Voices of Today by composer Benjamin Britten, featuring youth and adult singers. Tickets at chamberchorus.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Pitcher Adam Wainwright retired last year after an impressive 18-year career with the Cardinals. His final season was a tough year for the right-hander and for the team, but Wainwright capped off his career with multiple milestones. Last September, he joined a club that has only two other Cardinals pitchers as members.
Popped him up! And then it's out! Adam Wainwright, welcome to the 200-win club!
2 weeks later, Wainwright took the field after a game at Busch Stadium to deliver a different sort of performance. Joined by two bandmates, he played three original songs. It was a transition to his new career as a professional musician and a preview of his country album, Hey Y'all, which is out now. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin spoke with Wainwright about the deeply personal inspirations for his songs and what it's been like moving from the pitcher's mound to the stage.
Adam, where did this come from? When did you start writing and playing music?
You know, I've always loved singing. Probably started, if I had to go back to the beginning, it's probably started when I started dating my girlfriend at the time, now wife, my junior year of high school. I got really cheesy and started writing her poems and sing Garth Brooks songs to her when we would go on dates and stuff. And she didn't seem to hate it. So when I was in A-ball 2001 with the Macon Braves, she's like, here, for your birthday, I bought you something. And it was a guitar. She's like, why don't you try to put some chords to these words? And I've always liked writing. I'm telling stories. I'm a storyteller by nature and writing little silly things for my kids and putting them to bed, you know, take a guitar up there and playing Taylor Swift songs and whatever. And as I got older.
I lose my journalist license if I don't ask you what Taylor Swift song you've been known to sing to your kids.
You name it, buddy.
Okay.
You name it, I've played it, guaranteed. The other day I sat outside on the porch and sang Eras Tour songs for my 8-year-old daughter for 45 straight minutes, you know, and I just like playing and singing. A couple years back in spring training, 2017, Matt Holliday had a house down in Jupiter, Florida. We'd go over there and I'd bring my guitar and have some guys over, 10 or 12 guys, and we'd sit there and play all night long and request songs and play and sing together, and just a good bonding time for a team.
I love all my buddies, they know how to make me laugh. When we're down in the bottom of the ninth, I like coming back. I like coming back to my wife and my kids, my house and the sleep in my bed. Everybody knows me, knows it's a fact. I like coming back. I like coming back to my town.
And one day his next-door neighbor, Ryan Baker, came over with his dad, and his dad, at the end, he walks up to me and says, you know, you're not bad. We should make some music together. Well, it turns out that his dad is a country music Hall of Famer.
Is that Gary?
Gary Baker. Gary, yeah, Baker. Just an absolute legend. And so I finally did send him some songs, and then I finally sent him one called One Day They Won't. It's on my album. It's about my kids growing up.
And sit in your lap. There'll be a time they won't call you right back. House will feel empty, feel so alone. Enjoy every minute that they call this home. The one day they won't. One day they all will have lives of their own. You better hold.
Called me right away and said, man, you got something here. I can work with this. you know, do more stuff like this. This is great. And so, you know, he was teaching me how to write better and how to make it flow better. And what words sound good singing and what words don't sound singable, you know. And my other co-writer, Greg Barnhill, who's got four or five number one hits himself, is those guys have just poured into me. And like yesterday, we wrote a song yesterday morning. I'm in the hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey, and it's a jam. It's an absolute jam. Can't wait to play it for y'all.
There's another song, A Song Will Bring You Back, which is about just being a music fan, and you sound like a real music fan.
Dixieland tonight and the thunder rolls. Guys like us made them records turn gold. We let them sound, playing them over and over. Neon moon, check yes or no. Straight pouring out of our radio.
Are there songs that you associate with particularly important moments in your life that come to mind?
The Thunder Rolls was a song that my brother made me a mixtape of country music when I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old, and I still have that tape. And I listened to that cassette tape over and over and over and over again and fell in love with country music.
It was a Reggie. My mama bought me first car, man, you should have seen me. I was young.
So I had this, I thought it was the coolest car that there was in the world. But driving around that thing, you know, trying to see my girlfriend wasn't great above me. And so she was at Georgia Southern University when I was a senior, and I would drive up and I would put a George Strait album on and I'd listen to that thing all the way. Those songs that I mentioned in there, those were songs that took me back to a certain place and time in my life that were just crucial to who I am today.
Dixieland tonight, the thunder roll. Neon moon, check yes or no. Straight pouring out of our radio. You think the past is gone, and just like that, the song will bring you back.
Adam, I'm not surprised to hear you talk about being a writer and what that means to you, because the lyrics on this record really feel like they're coming from, they don't feel like they're written by committee. It sounds like it's from your personal experience. So if I asked you big picture, what would you say, what do you write about? What are these songs about?
The songs that I've been able to write with the most passion and excitement are songs that are real. That's what's come across in this album. Those are definitely my stories. I mean, I probably could have named that album like My Life Story and it would have made perfect sense.
Do any songs come to mind if I asked you maybe about, say, the summer and fall of 2006?
Adam Wainwright, the 25-year-old rookie closer, in to try and end the World Series. Inch at the plate for the Tigers. For the first time since 1982, St. Louis has a World Series winner.
You know, I don't know if it's a song. What I think about in 2006, almost more than anything, after we won, after the World Series parade was over, my family and I went to Bandana's Barbecue for a lunch. And I hear like somebody clapping and a couple other people clapping behind me. And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's birthday, you know, whatever. And then the whole place just erupts. And my family and I are like, what is going on? We turn around and the entire restaurant is giving me a standing ovation for a 24-year-old kid. I just turned 25, 25-year-old kid, first year in the big leagues, win a World Series, close out the World Series. You want to get that person endeared to a city even more, give them a standing ovation at Bandana's Barbecue. And I always think almost more than the parade, almost more than getting that last out of Brandon Inge, Detroit Tigers, or striking out Beltran.
One of the most dangerous hitters in the business at the plate, Carlos Beltran. He is ready. So is Wainwright. The 0-2 delivery. Curve struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers. They mob Adam Wainwright on the mound. They are National League champion.
Almost more than that, I think about that moment at Bandana's, and I realized how special of a city it was that I was getting to play in. I love making the music. I love that whole process of writing and putting it out there for the first time. I feel like that is so much fun. Walking out onto a stage is about as close a thing as there is running out onto the mound.
Your first time playing in front of an audience was, what, last year sometime?
2 years ago, I played in front of a group that was like 750 people, and I thought that was, you know, like Madison Square Garden. Like, I was playing in front of Busch Stadium, and then
you performed
these last few weeks.
You performed in front of 40,000 of your closest friends at Busch last fall.
I appreciate y'all staying. It means the world to me. People all the way up in the upper deck, people down here in the lower bowl, man, I love y'all so much. I'm so proud to be a St. Louis Cardinal for this long. And I'm so proud that the biggest show of my life to this point is right here at Busch Stadium in my home. I love this place.
I was nervous all day leading up to that. And I'm not a nervous person, so I didn't really know how to act. I was trying to, you know, hide that from people I've been telling years. I just don't understand the nerves. And like, I don't understand why people get so nervous. And then I'm out there shaking like a leaf in the fourth inning, knowing I got to play three songs after the game in front of 40,000 people. But right before I went on, you know, I looked up at the crowd and it just felt natural.
But I can tell you this, I might be somewhere else, but this is right where my heart is. It's time to fly. It's time to head back home. I might have to go, but I won't ever be gone. I did what I came here to do, and I love being here with you. St. Louis fans are one of a kind, and you'll always be in this heart of mine.
But it's time to fly.
I played the Shea Fetts not too long ago with Zach Brown, and 16,000 people, I think, were there, is what they said. I've also done a couple smaller ones, and I'll tell you, I'm going to have to work on playing with the same amount of excitement and passion in those smaller gigs than I am with the bigger ones, because the big ones, I get all fired up like I'm going to go pitch a big league game. And the smaller ones, so far, I have had to kind of to work to get myself ready to play it, and that's a mental thing. I'm going to have to work on that.
Athletes talk about the impact of the home fans giving a little bit of a lift, an emotional lift, and a lot of performers, musicians, actors talk about the relationship with the audience being a really important thing to them. Is it a familiar environment to you, or what do you think your relationship is like with the audience on stage as a musician?
Well, when I walked into the Opry stage, I realized how many Cardinals fans were in the crowd at the Opry.
Making his Grand Ole Opry debut, is my pleasure to introduce you to, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Adam Wainwright.
Do we have any Cardinals fans in the house?
So far, everywhere I've played, it's been in the Midwest, and Cardinal fans travel. And everywhere I've played, it felt like a home game. You know, when I play little things at home, I got people that have known me since I was 3 years old that come up and cheer for me. And then when I play these bigger shows in St. Louis and all the Missouri and all the places around Illinois and these things, it's been filled with Cardinals fans. And so it just makes me feel so special. And it just, you know, I love our time so much that I got to play that long in St. Louis in front of such an amazing fan base that had just took me under their wing like a child almost. And I will never forget that. I will always look at St. Louis as a home. It was somewhere that my kids were raised and I was kind of raised, and my wife, and, you know, we're from the Southeast. And so we love being Southerners, but you know what? We also love being Midwesterners.
Well, you mentioned that you could call this album your life story. Is there a song on there that maybe you're almost a little nervous about putting out because it's so personal, or that you feel particularly close to?
There's a song on there called If You Would Have Stayed. It's a song about, you know, when I was 3 years old, my dad left home, and pretty traumatic experience for me as a kid. I still remember the night that he left home, and just things that transpired that night were just not good for a kid to see, you know? And you know, as I was young, I always wanted to be the kid that had a dad that would come and pick him up for field trips or come to the games. I just never had that. I just can't, I don't understand how a father or how a dad could not want to be with their kids. I just, there's just like this love that you just can't get it anywhere else. It can't be replaced anywhere else.
Thank God and Mama for always being there, for keeping me from knowing that you probably didn't care. I forgive you, 'cause that's the way that I was raised. But there's a whole lot of lonely I still carry to this day. When I'm looking back on all the times we could have had, should have seen the first grade, should have seen the first home run I made, should have seen the way that my big brother stepped up to take your place. You could have been a hero.
My brother luckily picked up the slack really well. And now being a dad too, to five kids, and dad is just my favorite name to be called too, by the way. It's just the best. And so I think it helped me to be a better dad because mine wasn't good. You know, that could go two different ways. I could have followed suit and been a, you know, an absent dad like him, or I could have said, you know what? No, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to be the opposite. And that's what I've tried to do.
When you look up at your daddy, do you see a man who tries? Man who stands for all that's right and won't ever tell you lies. Do you see a man okay with saying how much he loves you? Who's not afraid to ask the good Lord for things he could never do? And I see that look in your little eyes, watching my every single move. And I know that you'll learn more from me than you ever did at school. I'll do my best to teach you right from wrong, and you'll never have to walk alone like the brightest star up in that Georgia sky. I wanna be the hero in your eyes.
Yeah, well, winning 200 games in the major leagues is success by any measurement. With this album, you're playing shows. Adam, what would constitute to you success with this whole new phase you're in?
If I'm having fun and I'm able to affect people's lives in a positive way with the music stuff, if I'm making cool music and people enjoy it, then I'm loving that. I'm definitely never going to stop writing. I love that, man. I love that. I just got to manage. The most thing I want to manage on a success level is how I'm parenting and how I'm husbanding my wife and my kids. I want to make sure that I'm nailing that. I've missed a lot of things. I've missed first steps and first teeth being pulled and first time riding a bike a few different times. And, you know, I don't want to miss things like that anymore. So everything I do elsewise is going to be planned around family stuff. Being a great husband and being a great dad are the two most important jobs in the world, no question about it.
And you mentioned, you know, you closed out, you were on the mound to win the National League pennant, to win the World Series. You succeeded at the highest levels. I imagine there's a lot of emotions that then come into play when you're thinking about the end of that particular road, right? But you knew you were segueing into something totally new. So I wonder, knowing what was around the corner for you, how did that enter your headspace as you just went through the process of winding down a great professional baseball career?
Last year was the first year that I played that walking away was like a good thing. You know, it was right time. And my wife said it the other day. She goes, I just don't know if you would have quit if you'd have gone out and pitched great. And I don't know. She's probably right. I mean, it's hard to walk away from the thing that you've always done if you're doing awesome. You know, it's in 2022, everybody thought I was retiring with Albert and Yachty. But, you know, going into September, I had a 2.9 ERA and I was pitching great. I felt as good in 2022 as I did in 2021. And I just couldn't figure out, like, why does everyone want me to leave? I don't want to leave. I'm having a blast. I'm having so much fun. We're winning these games. And I pitched. I did not pitch great in September. I had a bad month in September, which usually one of my better months. I wasn't ready yet to be done. That bad month in September, it made me want to prove again that I wanted to play and prove that that was just an anomaly.
Did you throw your arm out pitching? Did you fall off the balance beam? Did you back your car into that pole? Did you fail in history? Yeah, a lot of things can happen that don't turn out like you planned. But the thing to remember is you gotta get back up again. Don't let it break you or hold you down. Speed bumps are made for going round. And life's big fails can sometimes be the greatest opportunity. Work harder to be more prepared and show the world that you ain't scared. And when it tells you you can't climb the next wall, that's when you show them all.
In 2023, it just didn't work. Like, my body was just, it was toast. I couldn't do it anymore. And so it was time, and it was, and mentally I knew that I gave every single thing I possibly could to that. I had tried everything. I had tried new diets. I tried, you know, new workouts, and I had made so many different adjustments through the years to be able to continue to pitch for as long as I did. I knew I left it all out there. I also blew my shoulder out completely and had to have multiple things repaired after the season. So I would be out this whole year anyways. I mean, I wanted to pitch a lot better. I pitched as good as I possibly could. I tried everything, man. I just wasn't healthy enough to be good. And I also was coming into broadcasting. I was coming into music and releasing this really cool album. And so I was excited about these new chapters in life and okay with, you know, how it ended. And it was time for me to leave, and that's fine. And it was, you know, I don't get sad about leaving. I get glad about being able to do it.
We got a dog and a house and a bunch of kids from it, and we ain't slowed down since we hit the ground running. No, we ain't slowed down since we hit the ground running. There ain't been a minute in it when I didn't love it. Looks good in the mirror, even better out front. Crazy thinking, baby, how far we've come.
That was Cardinals great Adam Wainwright speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Wainwright's new country music album, Hey Y'all, is out now. Our thanks to Jeremy for producing that segment.
The stars and the crickets are coming on now. And I'm watching you watching that sun go down.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.